want to say it's great to see Pastor and Sister Simnick, I believe, pastoring in Indiana. They have family in this area. We're thrilled they're here today. Honor them for their role in the kingdom of God, their ministry. Just delighted they're here. He said, we're on vacation, but we don't miss church. That's pretty cool. I like that. I'm going to try that. That's awesome. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I want to focus your attention on the Holy Ghost today. But I want it to be so personal to you that as you let the Spirit of God flow through you, you're embracing the reality that the Lord is that Spirit. That this is not just an experience, this is a relationship. I'm connecting in a deeper way with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Lord Jesus, let the power of your Spirit be poured out here today upon every single one of us. As you have promised in your word, let us experience the Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit, transforming us in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say in Jesus' name? God bless you. You may be seated. Today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday on the calendar. And certainly we hope every Sunday is Pentecost Sunday around here. But I do want to make it clear that when we focus on Pentecost Sunday, we do not see it as a denominational distinction, as though there might be some things that the Baptists celebrate and some things that the Pentecostals celebrate, some things that Catholics might celebrate, some things that Pentecostals might celebrate, or whatever the case may be. We don't want to limit what God is doing in our lives to just the tenets of a denomination. Really, we want to live as though, if it's in the Bible, we want it in our lives. Regardless of what you call yourself, you can receive Pentecost in your life and never be called a Pentecostal. That's not the point. The point is to have more and more and more of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, picking up at verse number 1. This is where Pentecost comes from. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, or as the Spirit gave them the ability. The prophets had given the promise. Even Jesus Christ himself said to his own disciples, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Go and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Old Testament students will understand that when God gave his word in the Old Testament, the wind blew and the smoke and the fire fell, and the word of God was made available to his people. But in the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, God didn't write his word on tables of stone. He wrote it into the hearts of people. So the wind was blowing and the fire was falling to remind those believers, this ain't just something new, but this extends all the way back to God's original plan. With stammering lips and another tongue, he's going to speak to his people. He's going to give them rest. He's going to give them fire. He's going to give them power. And we call it Pentecost. We call it Pentecost. And so as you look at Acts 2 again, let's just read the explanation of what's taking place. People started wondering, what is going on? These people are crazy, are drunk. They're speaking in languages that they don't even know how to speak. It's wild. It should be like that today before we leave. Is that okay? Somebody may be rushing for the door right now. Don't worry. You're not going to get anything you don't want to get. But I still want the Holy Ghost in my life. I want the power of God like we read about in the Bible. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, the other disciples, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. He's looking at the crowd and he's saying, you see all these crazy people up here? Hey, that fits here today. No. You see all these people up here speaking in tongues. These are not drunk as ye suppose. It's just the third hour of the day. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. These people ain't drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hundreds and thousands of years before it happened, God promised, I'm going to give everybody that wants it my spirit. I'm going to give them access to my presence in a supernatural way. And I want to declare to you today that that promise is not just limited to the days of the Bible or the New Testament period. Because if you fast forward in that same chapter, Peter went on to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody that repents can receive the Holy Ghost. Anybody that's baptized in Jesus' name can expect the Holy Ghost. And in fact, look at the next verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I think some of you can relate to this. I know that God has called me. I know that God has called you. I know of many people that I've gotten to know, and they have indicated, you know, the Lord had his hand upon my life. Even before I was a Christian, he was calling me or drawing me. That's why I say Pentecost is not just for Pentecostals. It's for everybody that the Lord is calling. And if you're here today and God has been drawing you or calling you, you have a right to experience the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your life. Anybody here, just raise their hand and wave it as to say, preacher, you're right. I remember the day when the Lord called me. No, it may not have been an audible voice, but I'm here today as a testimony. God got my attention. God got a hold. Yeah, I know I chose him as my Savior, but before I could choose him, he chose me. He reached for me, and I responded to his reach. Praise the name of the Lord. And so what I am preaching to you today is whatever is happening in that supernatural experience where the power of God falls on you and you begin to let the Spirit take over your prayer and you literally speak in a language that's not a language you learned growing up as a child or even a language that you were taught in school. The Spirit of God gives you the ability to speak. I know it's supernatural. supernatural, and I know it's powerful, but while you're getting caught up in the experience, I want you to embrace this reality that when the Spirit takes over your life, the Lord is that Spirit. It's not just an experience. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know where it happens? It happens wherever there's somebody, Baptist, Moravian, Catholic, Pentecostal, that says, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. If you want more of Jesus, the Lord is that Spirit. Oh, as you clap your hands, would you lift your voice and say, I want the Holy Ghost. I want the power of God. I don't want to scare anybody now, but I want you to look at Genesis 1. I say scare you because if I'm starting there, we're going to be here a while. No, but look at this, because this is so important that we get a grasp of how powerful the Spirit of God is, but also how personal the Spirit of God is. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. One translation says it was total darkness, total confusion. And look what happens. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I just want to put a parenthesis here and say, the Lord is that Spirit. That's who we're talking about. And this verse says that when there was chaos and when there was darkness, the Spirit of God began to move. And my goodness, when the Spirit of God began to move, it changed everything. And if you want to just get a little bit of a taste of what the Spirit of God can do when it moves, why don't you get in your car this afternoon and just start driving towards the mountains? And less than an hour from here, you will begin to see, oh my goodness, this used to be nothing. This was darkness. This was chaos. But look what the Spirit of God did. And while you're looking at that, just remember, the Lord is that Spirit. You say, why are you so excited about that? Well, it's this. If God, by His Spirit, can speak to the darkness and the chaos of this planet, and we have the beautiful scenery and the wonderful creation that we enjoy, what can He do in my world? What can He do in your world? If we will just let the Spirit of God move, you might say, I don't know. I'm scared to have that kind of experience. It would overwhelm me. I don't know how I would react. Instead of focusing on the experience, why don't you focus on the relationship and say, wait a minute, it might be something new. Maybe I've never felt this way before, but I know who that Spirit is. The Lord is that Spirit. He died for me. He's not going to let anything happen to me that's going to hurt me. So here I am, God. Give me what you have for me. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes, because the moving of the Spirit is supernatural, it's supernatural. It can literally be beyond our comprehension. We read it in the Bible. We see it happening all around us. We know the testimony of people whose lives have been changed by the Spirit of God. But it still, if you forgive me for using this crude language, it still freaks us out. Yeah. I don't know if I would ever want to be so caught up in the Spirit that I'd want to be out of control. Now, I'm telling you, God's not going to do anything to you today you don't want Him to do. But you need to focus not just on the experience, but on the relationship. Because the reason why you're as close to God as you are is because something in your soul, maybe from the time you were a child, or certainly at some point in your life, there was a yearning, I need you, God. Would you come close to me? And then as you studied the word, you started to realize, wow, God literally answers that prayer. His spirit begins to flow into the lives of people that are seeking him. And when that happens, yeah, it's supernatural. Yeah, it's hard to explain. Yeah, sometimes people act a little crazy, but don't just focus on the experience. Focus on the relationship and say, if the Lord is that spirit, I want that spirit in my life. Praise God. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The Lord is that spirit. So when it was darkness, when it was chaos, the spirit of the Lord began to move and creation was formed. But it was formed for a specific purpose, to bring him glory, to bring him praise. Now, I know we all have different personalities, and some are a little bit more outgoing, and I don't think you need to jump just because somebody next to you jumps, or I don't think you need to roll on the floor because somebody else rolls on the floor. I'm not trying to tell you how to respond to the Spirit of God, but I am saying, don't ever belittle somebody else's experience. Don't ever try to look at and analyze somebody else's experience, because they've gotten past the experience to the relationship. And they realize, wait a minute, the creator of the universe has come to live inside of my soul. And when we start singing about him, I can't help it. I've got to shout. I've got to worship. I've got to praise him, because I was created. I was created. I was created to worship him. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So you write it down. If anybody acts different towards you, you show them. Put my name next to it. On Pentecost Sunday 2018, Pastor Linder said this. Nobody's going to force you to do anything that you don't feel like you can do. But I do want you to know, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so whether you do what other people do or not, you need to realize, wait a minute, if I've got the spirit of God inside of me, why should I be bound? If Jesus has saved me, why should I be intimidated? If Jesus has rescued me, I'm not going to worry about what you think. I'm not going to worry about what you say. All I know is that the Lord is that spirit. He created the world, and now he's used in living in my world. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to rejoice in him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to live for him, because the Lord is that spirit. The Spirit of God wants to move into somebody's darkness today. The Spirit of God wants to move where there's chaos in somebody's life today. And you know what? If you jump, that's great. This is a jump zone. You can jump here. I don't want to say jump free zone, because that means you don't jump, I guess, right? So how will we describe that? Free to jump zone. Free to dance zone. Free to shout zone. Free to worship zone. Why? Because the Lord is that spirit. And where his spirit is, there is liberty. But I think sometimes beyond the jump and beyond the shout and beyond the running, there ought to be somebody that all of a sudden, while you're praying, you're not going to just hold it in anymore. You're not going to try to trap it in and say, oh boy, I don't want something weird. Don't focus on the experience. Focus on the relationship and say, the Lord is that spirit I feel right now. Jesus is moving in me right now. And you know what? I may not jump, but take away the depression. I may not shout, but take away the confusion. I may not dance, but take away the fear, because the Spirit of the Lord wants to move in your darkness. The Spirit of the Lord wants to move in your chaos. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. So just quickly, in the Old Testament, so many examples, so many individuals where the Spirit of God moved on them. I'm not going to talk about all, just one. So you'll be like, wow, thank you, God. Just one. But the one I'm going to talk about is pretty famous. Some of you will recognize his story as soon as I mention his name. From Judges 13, a woman bears a son, verse 24, and calls his name Samson. I know a lot of you read about Samson. You get a visual image of me. I will not be embarrassed if you want to take a picture right now. I can repent of the pride, but that's the Samson I'm talking about. Look just like you, Pastor. Wow. Unbelievable. Nothing like it. But look at what the Bible says about Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Everybody say, at times. And it describes where God would move on him, wherever he went. At times, the Spirit of God would move on him. Now let me pause and say, the Lord is that Spirit. The one we read about in the New Testament, the one that has filled many of us until we spoke with other tongues, that's the same Spirit. Same Spirit. Don't be confused. Same Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. The difference, of course, is that in the Old Testament, he would move on somebody. In the New Testament, he still moves on people all the time. That's why people that have never spoken in tongues, they feel the Spirit moving on them. But in the New Testament, you get even more than the Spirit moving on you. You get the Spirit moving in you. And you talk about liberty. I can tell you just my personal testimony. I remember a season in high school and getting ready for college where I was so introverted and shy. I wouldn't even worship in church because I was embarrassed. I was kind of tall and lanky, thought everybody was looking at me, so I was kind of inward and shy. But when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, I'm not just talking around me. He was always around me. But when he got within me and when I began to yield to the Spirit, my goodness, the chaos was gone. The darkness was gone. The fear. You know why? Because the Lord is that Spirit. But when the Spirit of God moves on Samson at times, everybody say at times. Wow. He is like a superhero. Some of y'all have read that. You were in Sunday school. You stayed awake on that Sunday. You don't need me to read every verse. Would you like me to read every verse? No, you know enough about the story that when the Spirit of God was moving, Samson was a dynamo. At times, Samson was powerful. At times, Samson was victorious. At times, Samson was supernatural. And at times, the only way that was possible was because the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times. The Lord is that Spirit. And when he was moving on Samson, wow, so powerful, so dynamic, so supernatural. But when the Spirit of God was not moving on him, Samson was so weak, so vulnerable, so defeated. In fact, the climax of Samson's experience with the Spirit of God is summed up in one verse, Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. Even though the Spirit had moved on him at times, he allowed his flesh, his desires, his carnality to override the moving of the Spirit. And look what happened. We hear the name Delilah. So many of you are aware of that. She said, verse 20, the Philistines be upon you. They were the enemies of Samson, the enemies of the people of God. And so Samson, the Bible says, he awoke out of his sleep and he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, or he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. This Old Testament story teaches us something powerful about our New Testament experience. Samson did not realize that his carnality was grieving the Spirit of God, that yielding to temptation over and over again was grieving the Spirit of God. And Samson, you're taking for granted that the Spirit of God is just going to move on you just when you need it. And when you don't need it, you can live your own way. And Samson didn't realize, now when I need the Spirit of God, I don't have it. And sure enough, Samson was defeated and brought into captivity. And if you allow me just to draw the parallel, because there's a scripture here that speaks to this in Judges 16. Samson is blind. They literally pluck out his eyes. He was so strong. He was so victorious. He was so powerful at times. But when he grieved the Spirit of God, he was so vulnerable and so pitiful that they plucked out his eyes and they chained him up like an animal. And they made sport of him, laughing at him. Look at this man that used to be moved on by the Spirit. Now he's nothing. And Samson had a little prayer meeting. And we read about it in Judges 16, verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once again avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Down to verse 30, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. If you will allow me just to make this New Testament parallel, I'm speaking spiritually now. I'm not talking about physically, but spiritually. Isn't it beautiful when somebody repents? It doesn't matter how weak they've been. It doesn't matter how defeated they've been. It doesn't matter how they've been kicked around, even by the devil. When they repent and they die out to themselves, they die out to their own desires. They die out to their past. What happens? Here comes the Spirit of God. Here comes the strength of God. Until Samson was able to be more victorious in his dying than he ever was in his living. What a beautiful metaphor for the Spirit-led life. If you and I can repent every day, if we can die out to our flesh every day, we can be way more victorious in our dying than we can in our living. My brothers and sisters, it's not all about the money in your bank. It's not all about the car in your driveway. It's not even about the beautiful family. You know what it's about? If I can die out to me and let the Spirit move inside of my life and lead me and guide me, I can be so victorious because the Lord is that Spirit that wants to give somebody victory. Oh, if you'd like some of that victory, would you clap your hands and shout with your voice and say, Jesus, let your Holy Ghost have its way in my life. Praise God. Praise God. And this is what I want you to focus on. And soon we're going to come and pray. I know when we speak of the experience, some of y'all think we're crazy. Speaking in other tongues? Oh, I don't know about all that. I want you to know something today. When I speak of the Spirit of God, and when you read of the Spirit of God, I think you need to be honest with yourself, because the carnal mind, or our own human way of thinking, it doesn't understand the things of God. Even good people make fun of people that claim to have the Holy Ghost. I would not want to impugn those people. They're just blown away by something they don't understand. Even Christians sometimes have said, that's of the devil. It's in the Bible, but they say it's of the devil. I wouldn't even impugn them because they just don't understand. But I want you to know, when you're making little bits of analysis, when you're studying and putting the Spirit in your little test tube and you're figuring out, well, that may be good for others, but that's no good for me. The Lord is that Spirit. Make it personal today. Make it personal today. This is more than just an experience. And you say, well, I don't think I'll check that box off. I'll take baptism. I'll take repentance. And I'll take even feeling the love of God and the hope and peace. But I don't know about being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. I think I'll pass on that. The Lord is that Spirit. I'm not talking about just an experience. I'm talking about a relationship. And so what I would beg you to do is don't let your own way of thinking override the Word of God. Don't let what you've heard from other people, well-meaning, but it speaks against the Spirit of God. Don't be numbered amongst those people that would even blaspheme the Holy Ghost 1,000 times. No. Instead, remember, this is not just about an experience. This is about a relationship. And I'm a little bit nervous about the experience, but I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. And so Jesus, as I pray today, I don't care what you do to me. Just get me more of you. Fill me with more of you. And I guarantee you the Lord, that is that Spirit, He will not hurt you. He will not embarrass you, but He will fill you to overflowing. And the fear's going to leave. The depression's going to leave. The addiction's going to leave. The bondage is going to leave. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want everybody with the Holy Ghost to raise your hands right now and just say, I surrender to the Spirit of God right now. I surrender to the Spirit of God right now. I surrender to the Spirit of God right now as the musicians come. I surrender to the Spirit of God right now. I surrender to the moving of the Spirit right now. It's not just an experience. It's a relationship. And I'm going to stir up the gift of God. I'm going to stir up the Spirit of God because I know I need more of Jesus. I need more of Jesus. And you say, in Jesus' name. So because the Lord is that Spirit, when we resist the Spirit of God, it's personal with Him. He doesn't stop loving you. He doesn't just cross your name off, but He wants to live inside of you. He wants to control you. He wants to take over your life. It's personal. It's personal. Because the Lord is that Spirit. When we accept Christianity, but we refuse the Holy Ghost experience, it's personal with Him. Because the Lord is that Spirit. And my brothers and sisters, when we are filled with the Spirit, but we become so carnal that we don't walk in the Spirit, it's personal. It's not enough to come through the altar like going through a car wash, speaking in tongues for a few minutes, and then going out for another week of living life your way. It's personal with Him because the Lord is that Spirit. Sometimes we come, we speak in tongues, we head out the door, and we haven't repented of any sins. We haven't asked the Lord to give us victory in any area of weakness. We're just doing our thing, thinking, well, I spoke in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost. I got that experience. But you need the relationship because it's personal with Him. And so I'm begging all of you to join me in just a few moments.
and praying one simple prayer, Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit upon me. Stir up your spirit within me. Jesus, fill us to overflowing with Holy Ghost and fire. Because as much as you want to be in me, I want you to be in me. I want you to be in me. Would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? Jesus Christ walked on this earth and he said these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want you to know you don't have to be afraid of the Holy Ghost today because the Lord is that Spirit. I want you to know that you don't have too many sins, that you can't be filled with the Spirit today because the Lord is that Spirit. And if he robed him self and flesh to die that you might live, then if you invite him into your life, he will fill you to overflowing and give you power and victory over every sin. Lord Jesus, today you promised in your word that we could be crucified with you, and when we live, it wouldn't be us living, but it would be you living in us. Lord Jesus, for every single one of us, I'm asking you to give us that experience today that takes us beyond just an experience, but even to a deeper relationship. I wonder if this entire congregation would stand, and from the front to the back, if you're comfortable raising your hands, I'd like for you to raise them as if you're surrendering. If you're not comfortable doing that, then could you at least with your voice and from your heart say, Jesus, here's every sin, here's every weakness, here's every fear, here's every doubt. I give all of that to you right now. Just picture your soul as though it was a pitcher filled with all kinds of debris, as though it was a pitcher filled with all kinds of fear, all kinds of failure, all kinds of darkness. And as you raise your hands, it's as if you're saying, God, here's that heart filled with fear. I'm giving it to you. Here's that heart filled with sin. I'm giving it to you. Here's that heart filled with failure. I'm giving it to you. What are you doing, preacher? I'm repenting. I'm emptying myself of me so that I can be filled with him. Come on, everybody can do it right where you're standing, right where you're praying. Jesus, forgive me for anything that keeps me from more of you. Jesus, forgive me for anything that keeps me from what you have for me today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, forgive me if I have pushed away your spirit because I did not understand it. Jesus, forgive me because I have even talked about your spirit as though it was strange and though it was a little bit too much for me. God, I didn't realize how personal this was, that you really are the spirit that wants to live inside of me, that you, Jesus, that died for me, now wants to live in me. Jesus, I never thought about it that way, and the last thing I want to do is push you away. The last thing I want to do is reject you. So forgive me, Jesus. 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 Because when I say today, Lord, that I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not just crying out for an experience. I'm crying out for a deeper relationship. When I say today, Lord, stir up the gift that is within me until I pray in the Spirit. I don't just want an experience, Lord, and I know it's an amazing experience, but I want more than the experience. I want the relationship where you are inside of me, living and working, helping me. In Jesus' name, if you have in any way, shape, or form tried to prepare yourself to be filled with the Spirit for the first time or just another time, I wonder if you would just begin to thank the Lord for answering your prayer right now. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Thank the Lord for his grace. And those of you that know how to pray out loud, would you use your voice and just say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood that covers us today. Thank you, Jesus, for your love that reaches for us today. Thank you, Jesus. you say in Jesus' name, I'd like for you to look at me and I'm going to give you some instructions. Brother Jamal, if you could help me with this one final passage from Jude, verse 18. I'm just going to start at the middle of a thought. So he says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. In the last days, people that don't have the Spirit will make fun of the Spirit. People that have never experienced the Spirit will belittle the Spirit. That's the world we're living in right now. And some of you just coming to a Pentecostal church makes you that guy that's the joke at school, or makes you that gal that your own family says, what have you gotten into? It's because when you don't have the Spirit, it doesn't make you evil, but it's hard to understand this with just your own human reasoning, because it's a supernatural experience that leads to a deeper relationship. So the writer's trying to protect us from a world where people are making fun of Spirit-filled people, where people are making fun of those Holy Ghost tongue talkers. And so this is what he says we need to do. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I cannot tell you how many times, I'm not talking just when I was a new believer, I'm telling you as a pastor, I cannot tell you how many times my own faith has been beat down, my own confidence in God has been shaken, and even the people that might make fun of me or ridicule, that eventually it gets to you because you're human and you wonder, maybe I am just a big joke. But you know what? I come into the presence of the Lord and I begin to pray until the Holy Ghost takes over my prayer. And as I pray in the Spirit, it builds up my faith until no matter what anybody else says, I'm going to make it. I'm going to overcome the fear. I'm going to overcome the, you know why? Because the Lord is that Spirit. And when I let Him take control of my prayer, He not only takes control of my lips, He takes control of my life, and He gives me victory and power until Samson, here I go. I'm ready to die to my flesh and I'm ready to win again. I wonder if you would join me at this altar and just pray in the Holy Ghost. I wonder if you would join me, everybody, join me at this altar and just raise your voice out and pray until the Spirit takes over your prayer. Pray until the Holy Ghost takes over your prayer, because the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is reaching for you now. The Lord is reaching for you now. Altar workers, help us. Altar workers, help us. Come on, young people, pray until you pray in the